did export a Fuji file, and we figured this out. So, yeah, actually, we are recording now. So this is our first podcast without Freddie. He's actually out of town. We spent the last hour trying to figure out how to get this to work on Soundtrack Pro, which Freddie told me how to do it, quote unquote, and then he ended up never using the program ever. So the last hour is us getting it, but we got it done. So this is Matt, and we have our regulars.
Logan Olson.
Brandon.
And as a special guest, we have 5 Second Films, Brian Forenzi, which you may recognize from Hypnosis and a few other videos. Brian?
Yeah, this is Brian.
All right. So Logan has decided that he wants to kind of run this.
Not run this. I'm the steward of the topics.
Matt, let me tell you how shit's going to be run.
I have a list of topics here, and so I'll sort of drive them. If you guys want to talk about anything specific, feel free to jump in. But I figure since we have a guest, we should kick it off with a question directly for
Brian Frenzy.
Brian, over there.
Okay.
Who runs 5 Second Films. What is your least favorite part of 5 Second Films?
My least favorite part?
Yeah, what do you
think? That's a good opening question.
What do I hate?
About what you do. Well, first explain what 5 Second Films is for everyone.
Oh, okay. 5 Second Films is exactly that. There are these micro films that we put a new one up every weekday. So Monday through Friday, there's a new one. And we've been doing that for about 2 years straight. But it's like Nightmare Vaudeville. That's like the best way to pitch it. It's like you'll never know what you'll get, but it can be surreal or just crazy old-timey punchline humor.
For audience members that may not know, what is vaudeville?
Oh, okay. Vaudeville. Vaudeville is when old... It's like, you know, after World War One, when, you know, fighter pilots no longer had a job, they just transported alcohol in these planes from country to country, and that's vaudeville.
Perfect.
Wait, that's not real.
No, that's actually true.
Are you for real?
Well, there's two definitions.
So vaudeville is bootleggers of the sky?
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually what vaudeville translates into.
If you wiki that right now.
So how did vaudeville end up meaning what I thought it was, which is crazy yokels putting on performances?
Vaudeville is French for to the village.
Okay, that didn't answer my question.
All right, Brian's obviously too smart for our podcast.
So back to 5 Second Films. What's your least favorite part about 5 Second Films?
My least favorite part?
Yeah.
When no one's getting along and we're all having a shitty day and we just want to go home, and then the entire week's worth of product that we made that day just sucks balls and we all hate each other.
Wow. That was really dark. That was dark.
And wouldn't that be your worst part?
How often do you have these weeks?
Never. We all get along super great. We have a really fun time.
So you don't do Saturday or Sunday?
No, we shoot everything on Sunday. And we come up with the ideas during
Sounds
the week.
Lazy.
And we shoot everything on Sunday. That kind of
ruins the illusion, because everybody just assumes you make it the day of and then pop it out at midnight.
No. I mean, there's a big group of us. There's like 8 of us. So you can count on there to be at least 5 ideas that are halfway worth filming. And then we just do it all in one day. And just kind of poop them out throughout the week.
Will you guys ever make a 3D 5 Second Film? Have you?
We considered it when we were doing Oscar Week last year, and Avatar was one of the ones we wanted to do. We were considering shooting that in 3D, especially because we had a couple people on our team who knew how to shoot it. But we just decided against it because Oscar Week in general for us, we just got done with our Oscar Week this year, and it's always just like the most strenuous, terrible time, because it's so hard to have like a real comedic point of view on a movie. In 5 seconds, the most you can do is just try and parody something recognizable about it, and you just wind up looking like the fucking Friedberg and Seltzer guys who do epic movie and date movie.
Scary movie.
Just like really shitty, obvious parodies.
So how do you guys feel about Meet the Spartans and all those movies? It's two guys, right, who make all those terrible parody movies. What's their names?
Jason Friedberg and Aaron Seltzer.
And I think it's really easy to hate on them, but they just put their home on sale, right?
They're incredible businessmen.
Yeah, their home is worth $4 million, I believe, and has a running fountain and a waterfall.
Is it their home they have together?
Yeah.
For some reason, it never occurred to me, but yes, they live together.
They actually have 3 cats.
It's a big house.
They have many cats.
No,
many cardigans.
They're just incredible businessmen. People hate on them because they're like, I guess, trying to judge their movies as actual movies or art form, but they're just dudes who are like, all right, this is exactly how you make a product that sells.
I feel like you could hate on them after the first movie because you're like, you know what, they probably tricked the audience into doing that. But once they've made like 10 of them at this point, you know, and they keep coming, the same audience keeps coming back over and over again, it's like, how can you really hate on that? It's like, clearly people know what they're getting into and they like it. So
yeah.
I feel honestly like they just make decompression movies. So it's like you watched a year's worth of pop culture, and then they're there to remind you that you saw all the shit that you saw that year. It's like Jack Sparrow comes out, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's a pirate movie.
I saw that this year.
It makes you feel good because it's showing you that you actually know something.
Yeah, it makes it's validating the fact that you swallowed all this crap over the years.
That is the whole point.
It makes it feel worthwhile that you read E! News rather than, you know, science or literature.
Rather than expand your brain, it rewards you for knowing who the fuck's on the hills. Or
people love feeling smart, so when they see something they recognize, it's like, oh my god, so I know that.
Maybe we should talk about somebody else that everybody's been hating on. I think you know who I'm talking about.
Gaddafi?
I was going to say Charlie Sheen, but we can talk about Gaddafi.
Wait, is it?
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to preempt the obvious
Charlie Sheen
intro.
Or Gaddafi?
Let's first talk about Gaddafi. So the other night, I was playing all night. I was like, you know what? I better take a two-hour nap. And I couldn't go to sleep because all I could think about was Gaddafi. I had Gaddafi on the mind. Like, I was sitting there sleeping. I'm like, how would I make a stereoscopic image of Gaddafi? What would Gaddafi look like in 3D? what's Gaddafi doing question. Right now?
You could meet him or look at video of him and possibly have your answer. But you know what? Let's go with this.
I just sat there with my eyes closed just thinking about Gaddafi for 2 hours and then my alarm went off. It was...
Logan, what are you so obsessed about with Gaddafi?
You know... I just think he's kind of like Charlie Sheen, that he's a rock star and kind of mad and has his you've seen his like harem bodyguard, right? No. So for those of you who don't know what Gaddafi is, because we're an educational program, Gaddafi is the sole dictator of Libya, right? Libya.
Because we're an education, we learn as we go.
Matt, can you wiki this really quickly?
Libya? Oh my god, Logan's sweating bullets, just like staring back at Matt, trying to get him to get on Wikipedia, just like winking at him.
I don't know what's going on.
So let's go with Libya. It's not Liberia, it's not Tunisia.
You're going to offend so many people.
And so, Gaddafi is, you know, the head guy of Libya, and they're having all these protests right now, right? And Gaddafi's just sort of like, he's holding his own. And the best part was last week when he got on television for like 10 hours straight, like in like war makeup. He like put on face paint and just started like rambling about drugs and like the American illusionists and like terrorism and trees.
Why were they protesting, Logan?
So I heard today, actually, this is what I hear, is that somebody went onto Google Earth and looked at how big his palace was compared to the slums and realized his palace, like for him and like seven mm-hmm. women, was as big as the entire slums put together.
Well, that's how you keep the women from seeing each other. They have go. To be yeah, that yeah. big otherwise.
Need a big house. Antonio Banderas romantic comedy. he has to run from slums to slum just romancing all
the
that
could
women.
Be a new movie. Yeah, yeah. It's like Big Love, but... Yeah. Gaddafi.
full of several misunderstandings.
A far more compelling protagonist.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently they actually blocked Google Earth, and then they printed out these like images of Google Earth and passed them around the slums, and people were like, okay, this is ridiculous.
So that's what they're protesting.
Got out of control.
It's literally real estate envy that led to.
Well, it should be noted, I might actually be confusing Libya with Tunisia right now. This might be for Tunisia, but it might be for Libya. Listen, it's all blended.
Is this
together.
Even Gaddafi? I thought I knew what was going on in the world, but now you talking has just confused me. I don't know what's happening.
What really matters is outside of America is terrifying. So we just need to stay here.
So Charlie Sheen
and watch game shows.
So did Charlie Sheen keep you up at night, or just pump you up?
No, Charlie Sheen just gets me really amped because he's a winner. He's winning. ! He always puts two dots before his punctuation. Let's focus on Gaddafi for a second. He's like a rock star dictator. Like you always see those pictures of like all the G20 summits where all the leaders are wearing tuxedos or suits, and they'll be like Gaddafi, like wearing Oakleys and like a bright green muumuu, like hugging them. Like he's a badass. He's the Charlie Sheen of dictators.
He's just an attention hog. That's what I think. Like he's
An attention hog with seven bodyguards who are like beautiful virgins.
He's like that one guy that shows up to the high school dance pretending he's above it all, but really he just wants to dance with the prettiest girl. That's what I get out of Muammar Gaddafi.
So you mean all the guys?
Yeah.
He just wears on a sleeve. He's peacocking. So anyways, that's Gaddafi. Yeah, he kept me up at night, but I'm over it now. And now we have Charlie Sheen, who is a warlock with tiger's blood. How do you guys feel about Charlie Sheen at the moment?
I actually just watched his interview for the first time, and I thought it was...
Wait, which interview?
Yeah, the one with the woman from... the morning show.
Okay, so the first one. Because you know there's like five of them now, and each one gets just...
He'll give an interview to anybody. He's coming over right now to sit in on this podcast.
Yeah, he's actually... Sure. Yeah, we actually called him up.
That'd be a very good surprise.
I'd love to hang.
To be fair, I found the phone number on Facebook, so it might just been a fan group. So we might just have a random fan of Charlie Sheen. No, it was a girl. I read all of his quotes first, and it was insane. And then I finally saw his interviews yesterday. And not that he's not insane, but it was just... He sounded so different than I thought he would when you just read his quotes, like Tiger Blood and stuff. I don't know if he's in on the joke, but he's truly enjoying himself. Like, I thought he was going to come off as a madman when I finally saw him. He just comes off as a dude who is a rock star. He's insane.
There's a little bit of madman, because, like, the sunken-in eyes and, like, veins popping out of his neck and him, like, wildly swinging his arms.
No, what it is...
connotes madman.
What it is, it's the subtle pauses, and he always adds that last line to his sentences that's, like, as if he knows what he just said.
Yes.
So he'll just be like, drug tests never die. Drug tests never lie. And then pause.
No, he goes,
scoreboards never lie. Yeah,
drug test never lie. Scoreboard never lies.
Like he wants to give another joke.
He's like, this isn't going to make Reddit. I better say something.
Exactly.
Like he adds something to it. Like, he's like vanilla crazy. Like vanilla Coke. You can just taste that 5% of self awareness in Charlie Sheen.
Exactly.
It makes it a little bit different than regular crazy.
Well, yeah, dude,
I love vanilla Coke.
In the interview,
by the way,
they ask him, like, they're like, so did you? How did you feel about your quotes? Like having them read back to you? He's like, I thought they were really entertaining. I was laughing my ass off.
They're
so
different than everybody else's. Yeah.
He definitely knows what he's saying.
Well, the thing is that he was two of my favorite comedies of all time are Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part 2.
And I was really hoping you were going to say Two and a Half Men
all seasons. No, and he's clearly a comedian. I think there's a reason why we're remembering all of his quotes and not just any other celebrity that's gone crazy. I think he knows, at least he's aware of what he's saying.
It should be noted, Matt, that you actually own Two and a Half Men on DVD, right? Every season.
I think we're up to season 7. I have them all.
I'm really? Sure we're at
no.
I mean...
It's the most it's the most watched show on television, right?
But yeah, it's like 15 million views about.
But you know, the thing is like, you can say that there's a method to Charlie's madness or whatever, but I feel like he's at cross purposes with himself. In that, like, he said that he wanted to return to work and do the show, but then at the same time, he simultaneously shits on the show. Like, he said, like, oh man, there was another bad joke, like just recalling experiences of acting on the show.
Yeah.
And all of his behavior, if he's even at all self-aware, like I think he is, at least partially, has led to the show being like they've shut down the season and they might not come back. The show's probably done.
The show's not going to come back this season.
Do you think he's going to do you think this is kind of like a money grab? Like this is all one big strategy to get out of a contract?
I don't think there's a strategy. I think what happened was Charlie Sheen has spent his life being totally enabled and he's been doing coke and banging chicks for so long and they sent him to rehab for the 8th time and he just snapped. Because the whole point of rehab is to tell you that you're shit and you're not worth anything. And then obviously that's an incredible, like...
But he's been privileged his whole life. I think it's to the point where people have told him, like, he needs to go to rehab for years and years now. And it's finally gotten to the point where he's like, no, what? Fuck this. I'm a fucking rock star.
Yeah, yeah.
He's trying to snap in that way. He's like, no, I fucking bang porn stars and have had, like, 90 wives.
Yeah,
that's it.
All the entitlement just finally built up this wall, and rehab's all about stripping that away and being and like getting down to like the naked, sensitive little boy in the fetal position that's supposed to be inside every celebrity.
Charlie Sheen doesn't have a little fetal boy.
He has tigers
and Charlie Sheen. He has tiger blood and Adonis DNA.
And so Charlie Sheen's like, no, fuck you, and you know, he just snapped. And so now everything he says is rebelling against the mentality behind AA. I'm convinced.
Yeah, because like, it's like
that's
Uber.
What all is.
It's like Uber, the exact opposite.
Yeah, he's like, see, I can beat you, Alcoholics Anonymous.
So do you think he beat it? Do you think he's sober?
Oh,
he is sober. Yeah, but for now,
in an hour, he said he did. He just thought he's only addicted to winning,
which is a great thing to be addicted to. It's almost like being interested in success, like you, Matt.
Yeah, interested in success. I remember I was interested in a few things. One of them being success.
So what's the future of Sheen? Do you think we're going to see him
relapse?
Relapse.
He will absolutely be violent to one of his two goddesses or both. He's going to lose custody of his kids because he fucking stole them from Brooke Mueller.
He already lost his kids.
Can we also discuss that? So one of the big strategies when you're trying to play like a mind war, like in politics, often like one of the sides will come up with a war. So for instance, people who want to lower taxes start referring to the citizens as taxpayers. So we start thinking about how much money we spent.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Sheen has managed to get us to start calling his women his goddesses.
Yeah.
Everybody, every reporter, us included, we don't even think about it anymore. We just refer to them as his goddesses.
It's a fun word to say.
But he did it. He managed to change. We view them as goddesses, whether we like it or
not.
And
one of them's a porn star.
Well, we're also being derogatory when we refer to them as goddesses, because we're saying, like, one of them is a fucking High Times cover model / graphic designer. in air quotes that you can't see, and the other one is a porn star whose Twitter is just filled with shit. 140 character,
the most depraved
nuggets of gold about getting raped by a million dudes and wishing her dad would come back and bone her.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, just
it's pretty bad Twitter.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, those are around Charlie Sheen's kids.
Yeah. Like, no, but he already, I believe he already lost his kids. Oh, yeah, which brings me, has anybody seen this news channel? It's like I don't know what it's called. It's like ACN. It's like the most hyper insane, like, new media Twitter. They actually...
Is it a news channel devoted to Charlie Sheen?
No.
Did you say AICN? Ain't it cool news?
Like, no. It's an actual TV network. I shouldn't have brought it up because I actually don't know what it's
Action
called.
Cool News.
It's
awesome celebrity like network.
We were watching it. It's insane. No, but at the end...
All Sheen all the time. All Sheen. All Charlie. All Charlie Network.
All Sheen all the time.
Okay, I like All Sheen better, yeah.
With but a C.
At the end of, like, a Gaddafi report, they'll be like, let's see what Twitter has to say about this. And they literally, on the news, spend about a minute just saying what the normal Joe says about, hey, Dez, what's the name of that news channel that's just insane?
Dez is a
our roommate just walked in. The room. Do you remember it was HCN or something?
HLN.
Hella local news.
Nancy Grace.
It's the most insane show. It's just like, you can't even... For a moment, I just stopped watching the show and just took it all.
Who's ever editing this? Maybe edit this out. Brian, do you... That never gets edited out. Brian, can we talk about your job with Nancy Grace, or is that off limits?
Oh, you worked with her?
Well, I've never worked with Nancy Grace personally. But, I mean, I can say this at least. I mean, look, is anyone at work ever going to find this? I edit promos for daytime talk shows, among them being Swift Justice with Nancy Grace, which is her spinoff court show where she wears the exact same powder blue shirt every episode and just berates the defendant for being a nasty man. It's exactly what you think it is, and it's not going to change your opinion of Nancy Grace. I think she absolutely is a lizard woman. And she's come to take over the world.
You just got fired.
A lizard woman.
Yeah. Brian, you just got fired.
We'll beep out every other word.
Yeah.
We'll say that every week.
It'll just be my boss. Boop, 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 is a lizard. Yeah. What is he talking about?
Fired.
So bringing it back to Sheen, where you say relapse, is everybody on relapse? Is that what everybody thinks?
It's going to go. I mean, he only rocks. So even if it lasts for a long time, at some point, he's just going to snap. I mean,
yeah, you can't.
I don't quite believe that he's committed to staying sober. Yeah, he's not acting like a guy that you've seen him before when they actually have stuck with it, and he doesn't look like that type.
I think he's gonna burst into flames and turn into a phoenix and rise into heaven. I think that's what's gonna happen.
Brad, we're fans of Dr. Drew. Have you been listening? Because I don't listen to Loveline anymore, because I just never on the radio.
I haven't listened the last couple days. I'm sure he has talked about it.
I bet Dr. Drew has some choice words.
He has some choice words.
But you know what? Dr. Drew's really cool, but he's not a motherfucking rock star like Charlie Sheen. And you know, if you're not a motherfucking rock star, you're jealous of motherfucking rock stars. And that's all I smell on the media right now is jealousy and hate for winning.
The media wishes.
But they would wish they were like Charlie Sheen.
They have magic and poetry from their fingertips.
Yeah.
But Logan, speaking of motherfucking rock stars who take it to the next level, you can't deny that Andrew WK is a guy whose whole philosophy is about living purely in the moment and being as totally awesome and being happy and free and partying every second of your life. And at the same time, he has said in interviews, he's backed it up and said that, yeah, sometimes he doesn't feel the way he wants to feel, but he enjoys that because it's different. And he can enjoy how awesome it is to feel every experience and emotion in life. And I don't think Charlie Sheen's approached that level yet. I think Charlie Sheen's just like, hookers are awesome. And that
I agree
sustain.
With you that Andrew WK is definitely a few levels ahead of Charlie Sheen. He's like level 50. Charlie Sheen's like a level 32. White Knight Paladin. But... Okay.
This may be the most insightful commentary on Charlie Sheen I've seen in the last 3 days.
And sure to be the only one, because no other news outlet or podcast or blog has talked about Charlie Sheen. A staggering lack of commentary about Charlie Sheen.
It's really shocking that we're getting such radio silence about Sheen right now.
I just kind of
wish more people talking about Sheen.
That's why you said beforehand, you said, look, enough about Gaddafi. People aren't talking about enough about Charlie Sheen. We need to talk about Charlie Sheen today.
Let's shut up about these Middle East protests and riots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Let's did you hear about Charlie Sheen?
Can we just lock down on Sheen for a second?
Yeah.
Because he's got a Doc's DNA.
I really feel like the news buried the lead on this whole Sheen thing.
Well, here's the problem is that he's mentioned Adonis DNA and Tiger Blood. And, I mean, there's cancer and various diseases that could be cured. Man, he's just, that, why don't we think that angle?
He might be a wellspring of just miracle. Miracle cures.
All right, Logan, what was next on your notepad?
Okay, well, to wrap it up, I hope that he makes it to Andrew WK level. But I think what we're witnessing is if Andrew WK did cocaine and hookers for 30 years. But, like, now he's past that. He's over it. He only has two hookers.
Okay.
And he's getting over the last of his cocaine.
I'm done pretending. Who's Andrew WK?
Oh my gosh.
Everybody who listens to this podcast owes it to themselves to listen to some Andrew WK. I believe I Get Wet's probably the song.
Is it your rock? Okay. I mean everyone at least has heard Party Hard at some point in their life.
I know.
Like, oh man, what a fucking frat boy patronizing douchebag. No. Sit down, listen to the whole album. You'll see what he's about. He's a fucking genius.
He's a god. He's a party god.
I know you're talking about now.
He's only Party Hard.
I forget names.
Okay. All right. Great. So 3D television, here to stay, like Charlie Sheen? Or going, like Gaddafi?
I've been pretty convinced that...
He brought all home.
Gaddafi. That's our new thing. Sheen or Gaddafi?
Sheen or Gaddafi, in or out?
In or out.
TVs? Sheen. Logan?
Your thoughts, panel.
I think it's Gaddafi.
Brandon?
Sheen.
Sheen.
I gotta go with Gaddafi.
Oh, shit!
You got split 50-50 3D television.
All right, the cat decides.
Two Sheens, two Gaddafis. All right, so let's justify it. Brian.
Okay.
Why is 3D television a Gaddafi and not a Sheen?
Well, I feel like, okay, you know, I was wrong about 3D in film. You know, originally I thought it was a fad and it was going to die and go away just because it doesn't advance storytelling in any way, shape, or form.
Neither does color.
And, well, maybe you know, color does. Color advances storytelling. Oh. For fucking sure it does.
How? Yeah.
Imagine all the movies that you saw in your life. Now imagine they're all black and white. Don't you think you missed things?
The story's
I'm still
the same.
Enjoying, the you best, know, the mothership, you know.
No, the best way, the best way to look at this is just watch The Mist. In color, and then watch The Mist in black and white, and they feel like completely different movies. Black and white's abstract. This is going to get a little theoretical, but black and white's essentially abstract, so you are instantly, just like animation, pulled out of the reality of this film because it's not, as you see, reality.
This is getting a little too...
I'm sorry to make you go...
It's true.
I'm telling you, the point is that I was wrong. Clearly I was wrong. 3D's around, and it's sticking around. But as far as 3D TVs go... I'm just wondering, like, it's 3D is TV actually is just this weird kind of turn your brain off experience, and you know it's not, there's nothing really event worthy of it. Like you sit down, you get up, you get some popcorn, or you crack a beer, you come back, you're talking with your friends. Like it doesn't merit the same kind of ceremony that going and sitting down in a movie theater does, where you have the same amount of presentation. I don't think it's on the same level.
Well, are we talking about 3D in general or specifically glasses 3D?
Specifically 3D televisions as they are today.
We
can talk about it. You're feel free to throw in an autostereoscopic or whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
whatever sort of things you need.
I think once TVs get to the point where it's 3D without glasses, it's
that's
not
called autostereoscopic.
Yeah, it's not even a question. And you're right in that TV is turn off your brain, but we're getting, that's like 3D of the past. I mean, TVs of the past, we're getting more and more aware of people's home computers and their TV and what they watch, whether it's on YouTube, Hulu, or what's on DVR, are just slowly blending. And that kind of idea of, you know, TV being the thing you watch after work is just not really there anymore. Now it's just, what do you do when you get home? You go online and you watch stuff. It's like, it doesn't really matter where it is anymore. And more and more within the next few years with Apple TV and with Hulu going on and Netflix and more, it's just, you'll be on your email and you'll look on and you'll watch for an hour. And I don't know, I think 3D is novel enough that people will enjoy it. And it's just going to happen, period. I mean, people are going to, they're going to keep producing 3D TVs. And once they get without glasses, it's a done deal.
So would you prefer to have a 3D television of the current size, which is... A big television, you got what, 60 inches?
It's 50 inch.
50 inch television, 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Or would you prefer a 8 foot television that's not 3D?
50-inch 3D because I couldn't use an 8-foot television. I just sit like 100 feet back.
Yeah, you just have to sit farther away from it. At a certain point, size doesn't matter. It's just how close are you going to sit to it.
That's right. I'm going to go ahead and disagree with that.
Well, size always matters. How big does the screen? Does that really advance the storytelling?
Well, okay, so here's my...
I already hate what I said five minutes ago.
And I hate you for responding seriously.
Yeah, you sound like an asshole.
Yeah, so, I just fucking leave with my thumb up my ass.
Here's the big thing with 3D television. So I love IMAX 3D. I think IMAX 3D is a fantastic format. But I actually don't enjoy non-IMAX 3D.
You don't like Real D?
Huh? Well, I don't like when I can see the frame. So it should also be noted that I'm exposed to 3D probably way more than an average human being.
Anybody.
anybody. Because I work with 3D every day with the military stuff. And all that stuff is done in head-mounted displays where it's and not just any head-mounted display, it's a special head-mounted display that's 180 degrees field of view, which means that I see 3D in my entire view that's computer-generated.
You're basically playing beachhead.
What frame per second is it?
Huh?
How many frames per second is it?
Like 60.
It's 60? It's more than, like, movies?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think it's really... So you bring up a good point. It's really easy to... forget all these other factors when we're looking at an image. There's frame rate. Like, a higher frame rate has a totally different look to it. Mm-hmm. Anybody who has one of those televisions with the real motion where they...
go to 120.
Yeah, where they put the intermediary frames is it's a whole different ballgame, right?
It looks quote-unquote cheap.
It makes all CGI movies look like video games because video games run at a higher frame rate. And there's also size. And there's the idea of a frame. So with IMAX, it's really hard to see the frame if you're sitting at the ideal... position because the image is so big, and I think that really helps the 3D. Right?
Have you checked out the King Kong 3D?
I hated. You mean at Universal Studios? Yeah. So for those of you who do not live in LA and wouldn't know, there's a thing in Los Angeles called the King Kong, like 360 degree 3D experience, right?
Because I heard it was cool, but
okay. So here's the issue with it. So the idea is you ride in a tram into this tunnel, and you're surrounded by King Kong fighting dinosaurs in 3D. So you put on the glasses, and no matter whether you look left or right. Up or down the tram, you're going to see King Kong fighting dinosaurs on a polarized screen. The problem is the way polarized stuff works is it loses its polarity after about 10 feet. So if you look at anything other than directly in front of you, everything starts losing its 3D and starts looking like a double image as if your glasses were off. And on top of that, they did it like 120 frames a second, but they like got rid of the motion blur or something. So it looks like really strobey. And on top of that, it's incredibly washed out. Like they didn't get high contrast projection. So the whole thing just looks like a cheap mess.
Okay.
So don't go to
theory. In theory, it'd be cool, but it wasn't quite executed.
It wasn't executed right. Go to Disneyland.
What's crazy is the reason I have it is because the King Kong ride actually got like burnt down. So they asked Peter Jackson, like, can you make something too?
He made something on par with his Lord of the Ring movies.
I'm not
pieces of shit.
I love Logan.
I like how Logan, rather than throw a Molotov cocktail, he just takes like one of those little like mini size bottles of alcohol you can buy at like Ralph's, and then puts like a little thing in it and lights it on fire, and just like rolls like underneath the door. That's what he does when he says things like, "Oh, by the way, Lord of the Rings is a piece of shit." And then, like, it's like that, of course, would unpack an entire like row of comments, but Logan just like puts like one of these fucking little girl like going out clubbing bottles like.
Hilton like vanity like, bottle,
and then like it's like it sucks, and then like throws it, and then like walks away.
Sometimes Brian, other times he screams all Germans are Nazis and throws an entire bomb on a city.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was awesome. So, anyways, 3D television. I need a television where I don't see the frame for 3D television to work for me. Also,
did you try the 3DS?
Did
you play with the 3DS?
No. Well, the cat had something to say about that.
I actually have to go feed the cat right now.
So that I haven't tried that, but I have a feeling I'll have a very similar. Feeling about it. I guess maybe that if everything is past the plane of the screen, so it looks like I'm looking into something.
You don't like it when it breaks the screen plane. Yeah,
then it might not be an issue. But if it's breaking the screen plane and coming out, it's probably going to be a little bit more. Yeah. So what's your thoughts, Brian? You were a little quiet on this.
I really think that 3D gaming is going to be the saving grace of 3D TVs at home. Because really, it's like gaming... People complain about the eye strain, but with games, it doesn't really cut. And so it's like one kind of pretty much continuous thing.
Yeah.
And I felt like Matt got a 3D TV button like a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And that's really like, it's been really cool.
It should be noted. We're all looking at it
as we're talking. We're like just talking. This car,
it's not on. I'm just trying to imagine 3D spilling out of it right
now. Yeah. But I really think the 3D gaming is what's really going to push it.
Killzone 3 was a blast in 3D. It just looked great. I mean, obviously there's still glitches, and especially Killzone 3 because they're doing so much shit with the graphics that... Especially the cutscenes, for some reason, they have, like, weird ghosting. But when it works, it looks unbelievable.
Well, it's the equivalent of the, you know, like, what, the 64 trying to add the internet plug-in thing. It's a console too soon or whatever for 3D stuff. They're not really powered enough for it.
But it looks great. I mean, the Blob 2, which actually we should, I'll show you guys at some point, is actually really great to look at.
So maybe we should talk about Killzone really quickly, even though I'm pretty sure Matt's the only person who played it.
I think Brian saw it. And that's about
I saw a little bit of it. I held the gun.
So we'll just listen to Matt talk about Killzone.
And then maybe I'll make uneducated judgments based on what you said.
Maybe.
Well, to be fair, Logan usually plays for about 30 seconds and then judges again.
I'm gonna play full 15 minutes on this one.
Yeah, you're gonna play it actually. Oh, because you want to try out the move controller. Yeah, so my roommate got a surround sound system in his like tiny room, which just isn't working. So we brought it outside. We got the new TV and we had the move controller. So I played Killzone 3 in the full experience. And it was cool. It was like Black Ops, but better. It's the same sort of game. It's scripted, and it looked awesome in 3D. And the sound's great. The graphics are great. It was dumb fun. Do you know what's weird? The one thing I notice about gaming nowadays, and maybe you can comment on this, is remember in old games, you'd learn something. You'd get like a new mechanic, and then you'd use that mechanic through levels, and they'd keep like stretching the limits of that mechanic. Like Mario has a fucking jump. And by the end of like the first three Mario Brothers, that's still essentially all you get. And they're still coming up with new ways to use it. In Killzone 3, you'll get levels like you get a jetpack, and then that's it. You use that one level and you never touch it again. It's like now you get a vehicle, you use it once. Everything's a sample, nothing. Games don't ever actually like stretch their mechanics or ever like actually. That's the thing, is like people talk about like, oh, this game is more complex because it has a bunch of shit, but I've never found that complex. I just found that a bunch of bullet points.
I definitely noticed that in Halo Reach, because Halo Reach had the weird like one starfighter level.
Yeah, remember right. You just throw it in there.
Yeah, and it's just like, and that's gone. Some poor like design team and engineer came up with that whole thing and was experienced for like 10 minutes, and then it's gone. And I think if I had to guess what that comes from, it's the rise of the sort of freeware flash game, mm-hmm. and the idea of a 10-minute experience being a complete experience, mm-hmm. and sort of taking a 3-hour game, it's like, well, how do we add 10-minute experiences? Oh, we add a new mechanic we explore for 10 minutes because, hey, that's what they do on the internet, mm-hmm. right? That's enough, right? I think that's where it came from.
But now the iPhone games have like a single mechanic, like Tiny Wings, which I'm in love with now, or Angry Birds, and they find a way to get one mechanic and stretch it out for
indie games have taken up that thing. Yeah. Like, indie games are all about exploring a single mechanic in depth.
The mistake they're making is for blockbuster games, they're looking at blockbuster movies. So they do like their big like action scene in the middle where they're going to have featured this one thing, and then they do the big action scene in the end. Whereas, you know, movies aren't structured where they, you know, keep building on the tools.
So actually,
well, they should build on, like, Indiana Jones is a constant build.
That's true.
The good ones, yeah. So that's why we were talking about Bulletstorm, because, I mean, I like Killzone 3. I thought it was a blast. It was the freaking most expensive game out there. It looked great. It was fun. It was slick. It was polished. Bulletstorm is exactly what I was talking about, though. It's like, you get a new weapon, they paste it. Like, pretty much every level, you get a new weapon or a new ability, and you keep learning how to use them. And by the end, I mean, you've actually learned how to play the game. And even now, it's like I'm still coming up with new ways to kill people, and I'm still figuring things out. The game's not perfect by any regards, but it's the first-person shooter I've played in a long time, which actually felt like a game that was exploring mechanics instead of just, let's put a whole bunch of stuff together.
Whoa!
Whoa! So that noise is our roommate. Ivy's came in.
Yeah, I mean,
she's saying sorry, but it's okay.
It's okay.
We kept her up really late last night.
You just ruined the podcast.
Yeah, it's ruined now.
We'll start over.
We'll start over. All right, guys.
Let's leave this whole thing.
One, two, three, go.
Gaddafi! Wait, Gaddafi. Shit.
Okay, one more time. This is Matthew Arnold.
Logan.
Brandon.
And I'm 3D TV. Shit.
There's shit.
Let's go gaming.
So anyways, on a different note.
We got our gaming in, that's it.
We got our gaming in. Let's talk about invisibility cloaks.
All right.
This is a little late. We're coming in a little late on this one. You might have already heard about it. Okay. But invisibility cloaks were invented a few weeks ago.
By Harry Potter.
Well, for real.
By J.K. Rowling.
You're way late on this.
I'm sorry, but James Bond's Die Another Day car totally invented invisibility cloaks.
How were they invented? Because way before, a couple weeks ago, they had things that kind of worked, like where they were projecting things.
Well, okay,
like,
so
what's the current technology?
Well, the projecting things onto people only works in camera pictures because...
No. I'm talking about like the stuff where it's kind of like, it would kind of like... reflect from what's behind you and project it in front.
Again, that only works from one viewpoint. And so, like, if you saw that in real life, it wouldn't be stereoscopic.
I think we're talking about, there's ones that have, like, thousands of screens and thousands of cameras, and they project, they take pictures
again.
So how does this work?
The real one actually uses nanotechnology to bend light around you, so it truly is invisible.
Whoa.
Shit, dude, I was just playing Crisis 2.
So there's, like, lots of little tubes around you where light goes in?
It only works, up to 40,
if you're rich.
Up to 40 millimeters. Up to 40 millimeters. So it can do like your like half of your fingernail.
will
so
be
when you meant cloak, you meant a thumb.
I meant a thimble. But being truly invisible, like literally, we're not talking about some sort of weird camera setup by like a Japanese art technology guy. I'm talking true blue. It's gone. You put the cloak over it, is gone to your vision.
So what's your question or comment?
It's in the future. I mean, this is over.
So what's causing the 40 millimeter limitations?
I assume nanotechnology and like the bending of light.
It's just not small enough.
No, it's our nanotechnology.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to be small. We want to be bigger.
Well, we need the bending of light is probably the issue here. But listen, we're not scientists here. We're not doctors. Brian. That's for somebody else to. Well, Brian's actually a doctor.
Well, the hard part is getting it to work a little bit. But getting it to work a lot more is usually easier than the first step.
I've foreseen 20 years we'll all have invisibility cloaks. At which point will there be legislation? Do you guys ever think there'll be anti-invisibility cloak laws?
There'll be so many weird lawsuits and cases about
Okay, well,
that's exactly where this is going.
But no, Logan, when is it cheap? It's not like, they'll be made in 20 years.
Charlie Sheen is going to be
Master Invisibly Cloak guy.
Dude, he's going to be incredible. He's going to be pouncing on chicks.
I mean, unless nanotechnology becomes so cheap and easy that it would cost you less money to just leave a shirt filled with light-bending nanites on the part than waste your man-hours worth of time to go back and pick it up. Unless it gets that cheap. Like they're gonna be able to figure out a way to regulate it and make sure like there's only a certain number of this shit around.
Yeah.
And whoever's wearing it, there's like a tracking device. Cause like if somebody's gone, if somebody's visible from the fucking human eye, it's game up. Like this
it's
guy
game
can,
over.
Can kill anybody.
Like they're superpower. Like you're basically superhuman.
What I like most of all is like when you ask people like if they could have any superpower, what would it be? A lot of people go flight because flight's fucking rad. I would pick flight.
Yeah. You pick flight? Really quickly. We're going to take a segue here. What's your superpower, Brandon?
Flight.
What's your superpower, man?
Flight.
I choose super fucking strength. You know why? Because I could jump and fly past all you motherfuckers.
No, but you just jump.
You just fly back down.
But with my super strength, I can land and jump again. You know, Superman, before he could fly, he could jump.
He leaped over buildings.
He leaped.
No, I mean, you could. So you're saying by flying, you'd just be jumping ridiculously far.
Oh, yeah.
Jump you would actually
be flying. Which would be fun. I'm not doubting that.
I would jump to Saturn, and with my super strength lungs, I'd hold my breath and explore around it.
It's good that you don't choose invisibility. I've always thought this goes with invisibility.
But I'm just saying you have to watch out for the people who choose invisibility.
No, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a total.
People are
that is
fucking.
No, it's
weird.
Fucking. Weird.
Oh, it's a total tell that they're a creep. It's like such a like.
That's the only reason you have to
get the hell away from them.
Like
yeah.
You could be soaring through the sky with wind in your hair, looking at the universe like in all its glory,
or you could be lurking around girls' locker rooms. Yeah,
it's like.
Well, I always thought if you were actually invisible, like here's my theory: if you had the invisibility power, but it got stuck, I believe no matter how good of a person you are. Within a couple months, you become a rapist.
Hollow Man. I'm pretty sure that's the entire plot.
I think every person.
If you can fly, and if you're the only guy that can fly, you're not going to have a problem, hard time getting girls.
No.
Like, you're going to have a lot of
girls. Like, hey, you want to come fucking fly with me?
Yeah, I'll just put my arm around your waist, and we'll go fly around for a while.
Game over. Yeah.
Don't worry about it. You don't need invisibility.
So I think the one thing you should take away from this podcast is if you're on a first date and this question comes up, don't answer with invisibility.
Yeah, well,
and if somebody answers invisibility, leave them. Get out of there. Pepper spray their ass and get out. Yeah. Get out. Just get out.
But what I find most interesting, is that a lot of when you ask this question to girls, and this is only in my limited experience of asking this question to people, but
they would say super flexibility, right?
No. Girls,
maybe that's just the girls I date.
No. Girls will actually say read minds to be able to read minds.
Yeah, they do.
Like telepathy. And
that's creepy.
And I'm like, but you could fucking fly. I can't get off the flight.
It should be noted. Do you think their answer was three minds before What Women Want came out?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why that movie was written.
Logan does bring up an excellent point. What Women Want was a seismic shift in pop culture, which changed the way men and women interact forever.
It's really interesting to see before and after What
Reading
Women
Minds
Want.
Would be awful. It'd be an awful. It'd be just as bad as invisibility.
Well, I mean, just how messed up everybody is.
Yeah. It's like when you realize how much your friends talk shit about you, and it's like they don't mean anything by it, but just hearing it, and you're just like, whoa, it like affects
your
perception of everything.
You should hear the shit I say about Brian when he's not around.
I already know the shit you say, I'm cool with it.
It's not that. Just think about what you think about. It doesn't matter how normal a person you are, everybody has fucked up thoughts.
Okay, good example.
All
of
this.
I was just talking about this with Brian. So I just started this book called. We're not going to delve into this.
This would mark, I don't know what time I've heard, like the third time I've
this
heard
this. This is third time tonight.
Yeah.
So I just started reading this book called My Secret Garden. Not The Secret Garden, My Secret Garden. Mm-hmm. And it's a collection of housewives' sexual fantasies from the 70s. I'll leave it at that. Pick it up from your local library.
And immediately get marked by the government.
And that's that. But if you ever want to like see the fucked up shit Housewives are thinking about, read My Secret Garden.
Yeah.
Logan's tip of the week.
Well, see, I think Stephen King's the one who said if women could read men's minds, they would, like, kill themselves.
That's not true. Not after reading My Secret Garden.
Yeah, well,
if they
truly...
if they saw inside men's minds, they'd chuckle and think about how, like, how pathetically weak our thoughts are compared to theirs.
He wants a threesome? I want a Doberman Pinscher. That actually, up in there.
It should actually be, no, that's in the book. That's, like, that's the fantasy they kick off with.
And, now, look, are these, like, yeah. Wait, to be fair, what? Are these the normal women, or...
That's my question.
I need something a little more scientific.
Vanilla, yeah. I need a more scientific study, because this is, like, send your fantasies in. Or I interviewed my friends.
How about the next time you take a best one? Yeah. How about the next time you take a girl out? You read through your top 10 and, from that book and see if any of those.
Because that is just going to go over.
It's going to go great.
Yeah.
If you ask a guy that, though, that's the thing, though. If you ask a guy that, they'd be like, yeah, I think about that.
So we were talking, how the hell did we get off on superpowers?
It's always a good subject.
I was using it to illustrate, like, why you shouldn't
trust. Okay, you can't choose flight. Let's just not choose flight. Pick something else. He's already dead super.
Wait, no. Okay, before this,
the invisibility cloak.
So do you guys think they'll be, like, you think all invisibility cloaks will have, like, marks on them to, like...
Then you have to control that shit.
We already went over this.
You need to see some control, right?
And I personally will never wear one of those, because I don't want any fucking filthy nanites on my skin. I don't want that shit.
Dude, did you guys hear about... So there's a this is on Reddit today, speaking of nanoparticles. It's a theoretical thing that you can put inside your body. It's not real. But it would, like, it would allow us to sprint without breathing for 15 minutes, or hold our breath underwater for hours. I think the idea is to replace our hemoglobin with like canisters of pressurized air, so we could pack more into them.
So it's basically like what Lance Armstrong has naturally.
Yeah,
I do not think Lance Armstrong can hold his breath for like 15 hours. It's maybe what David Blaine has.
That's pretty. The only problem I have with that.
I don't think Brian get real, but you know David Blaine might actually.
Yeah,
be
he's probably working
David
on that right
Blaine
now.
Has
yeah.
pulled off some serious shit before.
That's like the old man, but it seems weird to trust anything that you can't. There's something like a fear of not trusting anything that you can't like fix. Like if that breaks down, like your car breaks down, you fix it. If it's like you're underwater and you went like 4 miles underwater and all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, my nanos aren't working. What do you do?
It's just as reliable as an air tank, though. I mean, you're already going underwater with an air tank, and like that breaks.
Even if it doesn't, they can fit it with a nozzle and just hope.
But an air tank, you see it, it's big and physical. Nanos are all through your body.
Yeah.
At that point, if they stop working, I kill myself.
I blow off my head. That's what happens. I use my explosive nanos to kill myself.
Your explosive nanos?
Yes. I'm always carrying explosive nanos.
No, if they stop working, your emergency nanos kick in, which just like flows you to the
surface. No, but theoretically, let's say
flotation nanos. In the future, we will be filled with ridiculous nanos.
The point that you can't actually touch them, like even let's just say theoretically these nanos, which I'm sure this is how they do work exactly like.
I'm sure nanos work like this.
Work exactly like air tanks with nozzles. If they didn't work, you couldn't wiggle their nozzles, hoping that you can fix it. Whereas at least a nozzle on your back, you can just be like,
well,
oh shit,
you also just need to have the nano wiggle command.
That doesn't work.
And wiggle their nozzles.
The thing is, for a while, people didn't want to buy, you know, like what songs if it was online, you know, if you didn't have like the CD case phone.
That's gonna be the same thing with nanos. It's the
first thing.
I agree with you on that, but that's not the same thing as something not be able to fix something because you can't see it and not owning it. Because you could go download a song again. You can't go re-download your body or go get more nanos.
No, here's the difference.
I gotta agree with Matt. I don't like handing control over to something I can't fucking see and that is all around and inside.
And
here's
kill
the moment
me
you
or
will
not.
You will though. When you're at the beach and nine of your buddies are swimming around and swimming underwater and coming back 15 minutes later and you're sitting there. By yourself.
No, I'm not saying I would
do it.
It'll happen before that. It'll be when you look at the beach and everybody's buff and beautiful because nanos have fixed everything, and you're just there with your schlubby like stomach.
Yeah. I'm not saying.
Like, well, you see, 150-year-old man runs past the sprinting. You're like, yeah. You know what?
All right, it's
I'm doing
those
it.
Nanos.
Yeah,
it's time for those nanos.
I'm not saying that I wouldn't go do it. I'm just saying it would not be as comforting as knowing that there's something physical you can fix. And that's not the same thing as like, and the thing is people will always
it is
like
physical though. It's just
but
small.
The thing is that we are
just really tiny.
No matter how nanotechnology we get or how everything is going to be digital and we don't download it, people are still physical beings and we like touching things and touch is the core most important thing in interaction. We will always be more comfortable with touch. That's just a fact actually until we become just energy balls that are floating in midair.
What if with every canister miniature nanos, there's one giant one like the size of your head for you to touch?
Well, that'd be awesome. Or if you had like a button on your head,
a controller,
even if
it was
a button that you could touch. Even if it did nothing other than just the same thing as this. I mean, essentially, computers are like this. Computers, you can't fucking
you can't like actually, I mean, you can, but for the normal person, they feel like they can't actually fix it, which is why they get frustrated with them. But at least there's a keyboard you can bang on. So yeah, just give me a fake controller that has a button and you will be more comfortable going
to the nano kill switch.
Like the nano kill switch, fix me, and you can at least you can have a, you know.
And you mean I got like the same problem, like cars with the auto start button. I don't trust
even though the turn start actually is more or less that at this point, like just turning it like makes me feel comfortable. It's like, oh, this is mechanical.
Because if it doesn't work, you feel like you can step on the gas, you can do turn something. It, you can hold it, and it'll keep trying.
Wheel a little bit.
If you press the button, it doesn't work. You just press it again, nothing happens. Press it again, nothing happens. It's like you have nothing. Where's the key?
So imagine that with your body working or not. That's my point. It's going to be more terrifying.
I guess you have a good point. I wanted to start riding a motorcycle because motorcycles you can like totally disassemble yourself and reassemble.
You can do that with a car too, but
yeah, but there's a lot of computers in
no
there.
No cars.
Yeah, you know, like the difference between a Volkswagen and an Audi is, at this point, is literally just the programming of their engine computer. Like Volkswagens have a sportier compute, like a sportier algorithm for their start and everything and their acceleration.
So you can download that algorithm and
If you're
tweak with it.
If you're a mechanic, you have the hookups. Yeah, like there's definitely a port. I don't think it's USB. I think it's a proprietary hookup in your Volkswagen. And if you plug it in, you can definitely program your computer to have a different like kick to it.
So hackers can program their VWs into Audis.
Absolutely.
That's freaking rad.
That's exactly it.
I can't wait to get my Volkswagen
and turn it into an Audi.
I'll be the cock of the walk in my Volkswagen Audi.
Of course, what chicks like about it, you roll up in a Volkswagen.
Is that a Volkswagen? No, it's an Audi inside.
I
changed it from sporty to classy. Hop on in, ladies.
Yeah.
I got
my
a question.
Golf is now not.
So flying's the first superpower. That's pretty boring. I always want to not what's the other superpower you get, but what's the in addition to flying? You know, if you got a second superpower,
you can fly.
You've already got flying.
I have to pick invulnerability just so that in case I fuck up or a plane slams into me while I'm flying in the air, I'm okay.
What do you mean by invulnerability? Because immortality is a weird thing.
Invulnerability.
Okay, so just super strong, but you can still die.
Yeah,
theoretically, because Superman can still die. You're not talking about immortality.
Superman can't die.
There's two ways because there's immortality, which is always a weird one. It's like you don't die. So if you get chopped up into a billion pieces, you're just like. You're just like this, like, yeah, consciousness. Or there's invulnerability, which is like you pretty much can't die, but theoretically there's still kryptonite or something that could kill you.
I just have to say invulnerability because I must admit that flying through the air could pose problems on its own if my body wasn't also like super jacked to handle it.
How do you feel like you would fly through the air? What do you think the controls are?
Where are the controls?
Yeah, is it like a physical thing where you hold your hands out and you gotta move?
Do you float standing up like in a cross position like Jesus, or do you fly like Superman?
No, because there's always different ways. Some movies they have them like you gotta tuck and roll and you put your arms out and you like you kind of shift your weight, and the other ones are just like you think it.
I prefer it if it looks like a luge, like feet first. My head look fine.
His neck will go crap.
That's bizarre.
No one does that.
Whoa!
I always feel it'd be like swimming underwater.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So it's like a physical thing. You would actually do slow motion. God,
you have to make it the most ridiculous thing possible. It's like, you know what? Fuck all you people. I've chosen to fly like I'm fucking Cool Running.
Yeah, I'm laying on my back looking forward.
What did they say before that? One for the money, two for the show.
Three to get ready, four to go.
Oh, man. I don't know what that refers to. I mean, what are you?
Cool Runnings.
Oh, that is from Cool Runnings. That's a great movie, by the way.
All I literally remember is when this bald guy is taunting one of the guys in the Cool Runnings team, and he's like, "How about I kick your butt?" And then the guy says, "How about I draw a line down the middle of your head so it looks like a butt?" That's literally all I remember about Cool Runnings. I forgot whether there's
no. They totally wipe out and then they walk. They lose. It's really sentimental. It's like Rocky.
Fuck.
But they tried. It's like Mystery Alaska, which is my favorite.
Wait.
Let's ruin every sports movie where the main team loses.
Mystery Alaska, they lose.
Little Big League.
What's that one?
That where the kid gets ownership of the Major League Baseball
team. What about all the women?
Giants? No, they win.
Little Giants wins.
How about all the women? The one with
League of Their Own.
Yeah, they win. They lose.
Is that anyone watching? I bought that at Costco in my Tom Hanks 3-pack, and I refused to watch it.
I remember it being fun.
Yeah, I remember liking it when I saw it with my grandparents.
It just has Rosie O'Donnell in it.
I can't stomach it.
Rosie O'Donnell, I can't stomach it.
I know, it's tough now. But back in the day.
Rosie, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry.
If Rosie's listening to this.
She's reading comments every week.
Rosie scours the internet.
She actually really likes you, Logan. I think she's going to be offended by this.
She has a publicist. Rosie, I found a podcast. You're not going to like this.
Yay!
consume all Rosie related media.
She's desperate now. There's just not as much out there.
So maybe. For a second superpower, what about can it, being God be a superpower?
No.
That's cheap, not a superpower.
What does that even mean?
That means like I can build life with my own fingers.
Because you were
okay, super. So that's the superpower. That's different than being God.
Yeah, that's me.
That's like 1/100th of God's superpowers. Okay.
Yeah, no kidding.
So you wanted super strength for your first one. So is flying your second one, or?
Oh,
or you'd rather make life out of your fingertips and then fight it. It's like an over. It's just, you can play horde mode by yourself.
I'd like total and complete control over the elements of the universe. Is that too much?
What elements?
So you control fire, water, earth, wind, time.
Literally the stuff, quote unquote, the stuff of the universe. Like Carl Sagan's definition of stuff. Control all of it.
All elements in my,
in my spaceship
together.
Of imagination as I soar through.
I really
universe.
Hope Logan doesn't get superpowers.
It'll be vague and possibly cataclysmic for the entire universe.
Because you can't test that, like flying.
Oh my god, his superpowers are totally vague!
I have the superpowers of vague, undefined abilities. They can basically be whatever I want them to be.
You're like the kid when you play on the playground and everybody's supposed to like have a power, and you're the guy who's like, my power is I can use any power.
Yeah, no,
it's fucking bullshit. It's
boring.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you don't get any powers really, so it's kind of pretty boring when you say that.
Yeah, Matt, what was yours? You're rogue from the X-Men.
I don't know what my second one would be. My first thought was lasers out of the eyes, but that's stupid. I would not want to go around.
That's so bland.
It'd be invulnerability.
Controlling the stuff of the universe would totally blow out your eyes.
It would. No, but it's invulnerability because I feel like even though I could fly, you would. I mean, it's like Spider-Man. He tests it and then he hits a wall. And the thing is, if you fly and you get like halfway in the sky and then you fuck up, you're dead. So
you have to be able to practice flying first.
You're gonna warm up to it though. You're not gonna like just
go out
there.
But it's just the thought that.
I mean, birds fly.
Here's the thing: I would only warm up the first time I got 5 feet off the ground. Like, oh my god, I can fly! I'm fucking ready. And then I go like 1,000 feet in the sky, and then
you die.
You're not just gonna plummet though. You're assuming that this is like something you can pretty easily control. It's just a test.
It's kind of like
you stand at the edge of a cliff. You're not worried. You're just gonna like just stumble off.
If I would lose $1,000 when I hit the ground, I would take the risk. But since the ground is death, I would just be identified
on a radar as like a foreign body entering the atmosphere, and then have some foreign military shoot me out of the sky.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I want to be able to. It's like, oh my god, Captain, we just shot a flying man.
Do you think
that's happened before? Do you think like there actually have been flying men in the past and we just keep watching and just like
the greatest cover-ups ever?
I have a new dream, which is I want to fly over a foreign land. I get shot down, and when you get shot down, I would stay there as if I got killed, so they'd come up to me and then just pop up and be like, oh my god, and just watch them all freak out.
And then they just unload their AKs into you. That's what
Then I'd be invulnerable still, and then I'd fly
over. Oh, you're invulnerable.
Yeah, that's just if my second ability is invulnerable.
Now for mine, assuming that when I fly, I can fly at whatever speed I want. That kind of goes without saying, right?
Yes.
The second one is to be able to survive in space, whether that's like breathing or
invulnerability.
That's kind of ridiculous.
Invulnerability does that.
I imagine flying, it's like swimming underwater. So if I stroke once, you know, I'm going 10 miles an hour, stroke once, I can keep like pumping it up and I can be going like, you know, as fast as I want, basically.
We'd say zero to half of light speed, just to be reasonable.
Yeah, can you go light speed?
Yeah.
You can.
So I don't know. Maybe not quite.
Okay.
If you don't want to bring in all the things that might happen when you're light speed.
I'm just more concerned that you don't have the ability to know where you are when you're doing light speed. Because you'd wind up blasting through people and fucking.
You know who has actually the best superpowers by far? The Flash.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He's actually the most powerful. He's broken.
So, for all of you, you guys should read about it. There's an essay out there, The Motherfucking Flash, right? Is that the name of the essay?
Where they
actually outline all the Flash's powers. Have you guys read this? Have you read this, Brian?
Yes. On your recommendation.
It's important to read, everybody.
It actually is very important to read. Because you go like, Flash, whatever, dude. Superman can beat the Flash. Not if you realize all the powers that the Flash has. Like, he can... Like, let's go through a few...
Which, by the way, the creators really did not realize all the powers they gave him.
They opened up a can of fast fucking words.
Yeah, they're like, he just goes really fast.
He can also, like, vibrate his molecules so he can pass through objects at will. And then he chooses, after he's passed through them, whether they explode or not.
And he can go so fast that you can't see him. So, theoretically, he could blow up the entire world in an instant second.
Yes, and he can also travel through time.
Mm-hmm.
So the best rendition of Flash is, you guys ever read Kingdom Come? It's a comic that's like painted by Alex. Each panel is painted by Alex Ross. So it's literally a comic book composed of comic book covers, right?
So
and it's like most of them look like even Superman's just like a dude in a cape. The Flash is like always depicted as like 1,000 men with lightning bolts exploding through him and half invisible. He's basically a god man. Like there's always just 1,000 flashes. He never has an expression on his face because he's bored by humanity. And she just looks at everyone like really like blandly. Like
I can blow you up without even knowing.
Yeah, he's just like whatever, dude. I'm god. Okay. Flash is god. There you go.
You know, it's important to be able to fly at whatever speed you want if you're going to be going to space, because yeah. Otherwise you can't go anywhere. If I can only fly 100 miles an hour, yeah, then I'm not going to go to space. It'd take years to get to the moon, and that'd be it.
Yeah. So, on a superpower-esque note, what's your favorite ab exercise?
Ab exercise?
So, I'm really looking for some new ab exercises, because my abs are just, they're bored of the exercises.
They're just so hard. That
so, if any of you guys got some ab exercise recommendations, I've been really blasting these puppies, and they're not... They're not getting any buffer, so I need some...
You've been watching Charlie Sheen, and Logan's just going off now.
You guys really not have any ab exercise recommendations?
Swimming regularly.
Swimming and sit-ups? What else is there?
I've done sit-ups, I've done V-ups, I've done leg-ups. I hold L's on the ground. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll go from the L into a handstand.
Point, you just got to lose that fat. You just got to lose that gut.
Well, it's not about the gut anymore.
That's the last vestige of body fat is the stomach.
Yeah, I will tell you, Logan, that asking us three is probably not the place you want to go for.
Swim. Yeah.
Like butterfly stroke? You know I used to be the number one butterflyer?
Were you?
If you got a good butterfly stroke, then just go back to doing that. Do laps. I mean, the problem is that's more work because you actually have to go and like.
You gotta go find a pool.
There's a pool at your. Is there a pool at your place? Yeah, there is.
It's like a 4-foot kiddie pool, like 20 feet long. Just go in the morning. That'll go great.
That's not a kiddie pool. That's the same one.
It's
we
kind of a kiddie pool.
It's like 20 yards long. It's a normal
size pool, with Logan being a god man that he is. It's of course a kiddie pool.
Yeah, it's very possible that I'll just explode.
It's not 4 miles by half a mile.
Well, I do live near the ocean, so I probably could just swim to Japan and back.
Yeah,
I mean,
hit the pool.
The only ab exercises I do is when I warm up to go running, because all I do is run. That's it. And. It's just crunches or V-ups and just like those bicycle kind of crunch things where I alternate my shoulder to the opposite knee and do 250 of those and then like 20 push-ups and then I'm running. That's it.
Have you ever done that thing where you don't think you can do an exercise because it used to be difficult for you, but then you try it after like being really in shape and it's actually like you can do it like incredibly easily now?
I often find that when I return to working out after like a week or even 2 weeks of not having done anything, I can just knock it out again, no problem.
That's because your muscles actually build when you take a rest.
Is that true?
But that's too much.
I've been trying this exercise workout routine where I just never take a rest.
Doesn't work.
It's interesting. It makes my whole body hurt.
It'll do that.
But I also feel pretty badass.
When I did football, I mean, obviously the way you're supposed to do it is you alternate like what you're working, because those muscles need rest in order for them to actually build.
So this whole muscles need rest. Everybody always tells me muscle needs rest.
But now you're gone. We're not talking about you, Logan.
Well, I'm starting to think that's a myth that people tell you so that you don't get to their level.
No.
You can see Arnold Schwarzenegger saying that.
It's kind of like if you get a scab and you just pick the scab out every day, the scab, it never gets better.
It turns into a scar. Buff skin. Scar's buff skin. Right?
You just lost, Brandon.
Right.
Logan beat you.
Logan took your point, flipped it around upside down, sent it back home.
Scar tissue is the same as six packs.
Failure is winning.
Winning!
By winning.
Oh, God.
All right, is there another topic? One more topic, Logan.
Let's talk about pheromones. This isn't a new study. But I found out recently that if a bunch of dudes sweat in their t-shirts, like each one's wearing one t-shirt, not like they're all sweating to one super t-shirt, but each dude's...
This is just if we were thinking that.
Greatest way to explain this stuff.
But if each dude's wearing a t-shirt and he's sweating...
Wait, just to make sure, it's not four dudes sharing a t-shirt together.
No, we're talking seven dudes, each in their own t-shirt.
Okay. One t-shirt per dude.
One t-shirt per dude.
And they all sweat into only their t-shirt. Only their t-shirt. So you have ten t-shirts now, each with only one dude sweat on them.
Okay.
Straight dudes?
Straight dudes.
Okay.
Because they're different pheromones.
I'm glad you said that, Brandon.
Yeah. You're just asking for bad comments.
Oh, no. Straight power.
Well, you're wrapping this around to attracting women.
Well, here we go. Here comes that.
Okay.
And you give all these shirts to a woman to smell. Mm-hmm. She can actually rate the attractiveness of the dude based on the smell.
And, or she's basically what does that mean? Whether or not he's Greek is basically
exactly because it's only gladiator sweat, it's only the hottest sweat, right? But that she'll actually rate them based on genetic diversity. So the one she's most attracted to based on the smell will actually be the most genetically diverse man.
Okay, so to make this test any worthwhile,
it's like that will happen
genetically opposite, like whatever she is, the opposite version of her genetically in a man is the sweat she'll like the most.
Exactly.
Now, have they done it where then this test would only be worthwhile if they then showed them 10 pictures of the men without them knowing it was the same test and having them rate the attractiveness physically.
But it's not
otherwise,
just
otherwise it's just like you're asking. All that means is literally that the smell is more attractive.
This is how science works. Science isolates variables.
Yeah, so it means that
isolated variable
means that. Exactly. Means that. That's my point. Which is fine. So what is... Yeah, it means that. Okay.
Yes, exactly. What did you say, Ray?
I was going to say that the picture is... That's totally separate, you know?
That's totally separate. I just think it's really interesting.
But in life, it's all...
We, at the core, our beings are really attracted to people who are as different as possible from us.
Actually, really quickly...
Because if you mate with them, then you'll have a stronger baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I mean, really, I guess that sort of is an answer to my question, which was, it seems to me like you would seek out somebody the most genetically like you, but just on an instinctive level.
That'd be your sister. But,
right. Yes, as the Ozarks can no doubt confirm.
So this is interesting. So I was at a presentation a few weeks ago. We didn't talk about the selfish gene at all, did we?
Say that again.
The selfish gene. So there's a parasite that will alternate between cloning itself and mating with someone, and there's benefits to both. So there's the idea of a selfish gene. The gene wants to survive as it is as much as possible. Like that's at the core of what genetic material is.
That's how we have sex.
Yeah, exactly. We just want ourselves to be passed down. In a perfect world, we just clone ourselves. The problem is by cloning ourselves,
most guys try to do it every day.
Exactly. If I clone myself, I clone 30 of myself. my sole goal in life is to make more of me.
Hang out with yourself.
That will be your undoing. Anyway, continue.
There's gonna be an army of Logans.
They will rise up and destroy you, and then fight each other for supremacy.
I don't care if they destroy me as long as they go on to clone.
Because they're him.
Logans.
I mean,
yeah. So because they're me. But I don't even know where we were going.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Ideally, we want to just clone ourselves, right? But the problem with this is that we are not ever improving. We're not protecting ourselves against any of our weaknesses.
And we can't clone ourselves.
No. Well, these parasites can.
Oh, okay. Parasites can.
They can clone themselves, but there's a downside to each. So they actually alternate based on, what is available at the moment. Mm-hmm. So there is a benefit to just making duplicates of yourself. But if you're not... You might as well vary it as much as possible, and it is in the interest of the race as a whole to be as genetically varied as possible.
The species as a whole, would like to...
So there's an interesting interplay between the individual and, the species as a whole that's going on. I just think it's really interesting from a Fermi standpoint. Like, you always think it's oh, it's fate. We're like, oh, we get along together, we like the same books. You guys have the different genetic material, and you smell really good to each other.
I actually saw this test. Matters. Now that I think about it, and they actually found that the guy who was wearing Old Spice was the most attractive. This was a deodorant.
That makes sense. I actually wear Old Spice.
I'm an old.
Who doesn't wear Old Spice?
I actually
Speed Stick.
Speed Stick. All right.
Yeah. I hear Speed Stick doesn't work on anybody.
Yeah, I hear really? Chicks hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
You got the double pack of that Old Spice, right?
Help a bro up. Old Spice.
I'm not really sure what brand I wear. All I know is it's
wait, what do you mean? What do you mean?
You wake every morning, do a blind test?
I can't remember what it is right now. All I know is it has an orange cap on it, and it's basically fucking fire gel. Right. It's like the stuff that you slather on your skin and set on fire so that
Do you always buy this?
Is it a stick or is it a spray?
It's stick. It's just gel, basically. You just you spin the wheel and the gel comes out and I slather it on, and it's the only stuff that works for me.
It's got little holes.
It comes out of the holes like a Play-Doh spaghetti factory.
Yeah.
And I use that shit, and it's the only thing that's ever worked for me.
You buy it repeatedly?
What do you mean only? It's the only thing that ever worked for you. Only works for you in what way?
I mean, it's not about stinky. It's about sweaty. I just don't know what it is.
Wait, it's an antiperspirant.
It's an antiperspirant.
Oh, come on, Ryan. Wake up. You gotta accept that sweat. Embrace that sweat.
It's part of your
Absolutely
body.
Not. It's fucking unbecoming to have a shirt with sweaty pits, Logan.
There's
you
nothing
know
more girls
you
like
wear an undershirt
than big old sweaty dudes.
An undershirt?
Or two.
I'm not
part of
fucking
or
insane.
Have you ever...
I put one shirt on during the day, okay? I'm a
have you
American.
Thought about adopting pit pads? Getting some pit pads going?
Pit pads?
Pit pads.
I tried pit pads.
You tried pit pads?
No, I've not.
Okay, I was like, what the hell?
If you want to borrow some of my pit pads, and we can... That'll
why do you have
pit
pads? I thought girls love sweaty men.
They do, but they don't want to see the sweat. They only want to smell that shit. So,
I'm going to look up this study.
I wear the pit pads, so you keep the scent, get rid of the visuals, you know?
And the fire gel thing is relatively scent-free, which allows my natural man musk to take over.
But how's your man musk going to come out if you're covering up your perspiration?
Because I exude brightness everywhere else. Okay?
Well, you got a lot more skin than just your pits.
Yeah,
that's true.
I don't need my
pits
to do the talking for me, okay?
Fair
like,
enough.
I am me. I embrace it. But this fire gel, I fucking need it.
So how do you guys feel about covering up your the smell in your mouth, like using chewing gum or using like breath mints and stuff?
I also endorse that.
I support that.
Yeah, I mean, you have gum.
I totally chew gum.
Brian,
so much.
Brian for mints.
Brian
yeah,
for
you,
mints.
You really have to... brush your teeth and
you
stuff.
Do you guys remember Smints? Are Smints still around?
What's Smint?
Smints?
Ice drops.
What's that?
Ice drops.
No, golden ice?
No, nothing's colder than ice. Denting ice.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Ice, ice, baby, right? No, that's a song. That's Vanilla Ice.
So we've gone from kind of controversial topics like Gaddafi and Charlie Sheen to deciding that we all agree on having fresh breath is good. So that's a good time. That's a good time to agree.
If we got notes from producers being like, make it less controversial.
Is there anything
start plugging products like deodorant and breath mints?
Is there anything controversial about Gaddafi? Like, if
I don't
agree
think
that
so.
He's an evil man.
I was just laughing at where we went.
Well, we certainly went from topics that, you know, you would care to
about.
See discussed on prominent blogs.
Deodorant
to,
and breath mints.
To things that we think are nice and like. and honestly, I think that all got started with my discussion about superpowers, and I have to take the blame.
Really, really quickly, fault. Brian, can you name three things that you like?
Name three things that I like?
That you haven't mentioned yet.
Okay, owls. Owls rock.
Why?
Because they're the coolest bird.
Why?
Wait, why? Yeah, why?
Because they're nocturnal. Their eyes are incredibly expressive. It looks like they can turn their head 360 degrees, but it's actually just a trick of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you see Zack Snyder's Owl masterpiece?
No, I didn't, because I knew
that might change your view on owls.
It's called like Owls of Terabithia, right?
It's called Legends of the Guardians of Gahul.
Owls
Owls
cross the bridge to Terabithia. Yeah.
fucking
okay.
Course.
Number two,
peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Right. It's a classic.
When was last
crust
or
no crust?
Crust. I go all the way.
That's when you become a man.
Do you use the crusts on the envelopes, or do you throw them out?
I eat the whole thing.
Good
yeah.
thing.
Yeah,
good.
Like it's absolutely a
making
cornerstone.
Sure. Making sure.
Really quickly, so you supposedly love PB&Js. When was the last time you had one?
About a week ago. I was over at the 5SF house. We were shooting some 5SFs, and I said, peanut butter and jelly break.
You
guys.
Win, dude.
How about
white Wonder Bread?
Way to go.
I'll take any bread, but I do like Wonder Bread. I like Wonder Bread, but also, you know, wheat will suffice.
How about sourdough? Right. Not PB&J.
Sourdough's better when you're making toast.
I agree.
Yeah.
Somehow this has gotten even less exciting.
All right, number three, quickly.
Do you like bananas on your peanut butter and jelly?
I do too.
That's like 2.5 things.
I really got into
Jesus. Likes extended edition. Director's cut now featuring never before seen things Brian likes.
I do like bananas.
So I've actually found out about this bread at Costco.
Okay, wait. Now we need to hear Brian's third.
Really quickly, it's rosemary and olive oil bread. And if you can get it, because it is great with turkey, with spaghetti, whatever you eat, it's a fantastic bread. I really
what's the name
it.
Of this bread?
It's from La Brea Bakery. It's rosemary and olive oil. You can get it at Ralph's. You can get it at Costco.
Be honest, are you just saying this hoping that they hear this podcast and send you bread?
I mean,
it would
yes,
be welcome.
I wouldn't fight it.
The next podcast starts with Logan's mouth full of this delicious bread.
Oh my god, this
big
is
to
bread.
Big thanks to La Brea.
Big shout out to
big shout out. So third thing, Brian.
Friendship.
Friendship.
I said friendship.
We're ending on that.
Wait, are we gonna do all of this?